I'm happy to be in God's house this morning. I'm just waiting for everybody else to agree to that. Thank you. As I said, this is a participation church. I'm going to get you to participate in whether you want to or not. That's just how it is. And I'm just thankful for everything that God is doing, and God is working, and He's working, and He's moving in a really mighty way. And, you know, I think that it's very important that people understand what they're going through, because if you can understand it, sometimes it's easier to take. When you don't understand what you're going through, when you don't understand what is going on in your life, it's hard, because then the spirit of confusion comes on, and you don't know what's up, and you don't know what's down. And I've had got a loose hair here. It's one of them things. If it ain't bearing any type of goodness, I'm pulling it. And it's going to be blonde. I'll be one of them older people, and I'll be blonde-headed when I'm 80. That's how it's going to be. But anyhow, as I was saying, I've had a lot of experiences here just lately where I've tried to be a listener. I'm usually a talker, but I'm trying to be a listener, because sometimes what's needed in a situation is ears instead of somebody's mouth flapping. I'm a flapper. No amens on that. Okay. Well, we're going to get you participating. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about that. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to be this morning. But you know what? Sometimes we need to listen, and we need to see what's going on in people's lives so we can know how to help them. And a lot of times this week I've heard, you know, I just don't understand God. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know why He done this to me. And there's blaming God, and then there's just plain confused. I don't know what's going on. Why did God do this to me? Well, you know what? Today we're going to talk about the potter's wheel. And I was thinking, Brother Sam's going to begin to preach this message for me, and that would be just fine. But let's go to Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to look at verses 9 through 10. And it says here, "Woe to him who quarrels with his maker." And I've seen a lot of quarreling and fighting with our maker. A lot of people, they want to fight God tooth and nail. They're the same ones that say, "God, have your will. God, whatever you want to do." And then every time God tries to move in your life, every time God tries to say, "Hey, do this," it will be uncomfortable. It's not going to be what you want to do, but it's what I want you to do. See, then you begin to fight God. And you can't win with fighting with who made you. You can't win fighting Him with everything that He's wanting you to do. Amen. And so, woe unto him that quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherd on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, "What are you making?" See, and there's a lot of children of God that are constantly saying, "God, what are you doing? God, why did you do this? God, why did you make this happen? God, why did you allow this to happen? God, I don't like that. God this, God that." I tell my son, who's 7 years old, all the time, I say, "Carson Paul, you're going to have to learn how to go with the flow at some point in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to buck something one too many times, and it's going to cause you a problem in your life that you're going to have some severe consequences." We've all been there. We've all bucked something one too many times and lived to regret it. And so, you know, I'm talking this morning about what is going on in your life. What is the potter really making out of you? What is he doing with you when you're on that potter's wheel? Some people don't know. Some people really don't. A life challenge has hit you. You don't know what's going on in your life. You're just discouraged. That's what you know. You're weary. That's what you know. You're tired. That's what you know. Jody, sometimes I'm so weary, I don't even want to pray. Now, I know you won't catch a bunch of people up in church telling you that, but I will tell you, because I have that personality. I won't just mess around and be like, "Oh, I'm perfect." No, I will tell you, I'm a preacher's kid, and sometimes I don't feel like praising God. Maybe sometimes I'm irritated with what God has let go on. Very truthful. Let's be honest. Let's really keep it real. My poor dad, his neck's probably going crooked. You may have to sit in the back. He tried that last week. It really worked for him.
Yeah.
He said, Kelly, my neck's getting cracked. Just figuring out where you're going to be. Well, I don't even know. I don't even know where I'm going to be up in this service. I'm going to be up and down and all around. He used to take me back in the day, back in the 80s and the early 90s, Brother Claudia, he would take me on visiting with folks. That's how I got to be so social. That's how. We'd always go. I'd always go and see a bathroom, please. Where's your bathroom? I want to investigate what you people are all about. You want to know something about somebody? Go to their bathroom. Everything you need to know is in there. You'll figure out what type of people they are within 5 minutes. Bathrooms and kitchen tables. Anyhow, but there is, even this week, we were in the middle of something, and somebody, Dad had made a comment, and somebody said, well, then why did God do that? Now, and he brought out a very certain point, and it's a point that I wish that I would have applied to my life before I had to go through some heartache. And it was, the simple truth is, in Hosea it says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And that's why we're talking today, because it's important that you at least understand what is going on with me in this process where the potter has me on the potter's wheel. What's he doing? And see, the Bible brings out a certain point. Does the clay really say to the potter, what are you doing? Does it really have the guts to quarrel with the maker?
That's right.
The answer is yes. A lot of us do have the guts to argue with God, because let's be honest, some of us, including myself, we will argue with a steel pole if we get the grand opportunity, because some of us like to argue. Cindy, thank you for keeping it real. Amen. See, we don't like to talk about what we like to do. Brother Mike, I can have an argument inside of my head with my enemy. I ain't seen them in over a year. I could wake up and get myself all in a tussle. Just arguing with that person about, I don't even know whatever I'm going to conjure up. You know, we got to know what's going on with our life, because if you don't, what's going to happen is years will pass by. That's what happens in life. When you don't know what's going on in your life, you'll blink, you'll be 10 years older. You'll keep on in that same rut, not knowing what's going on, fighting God. You'll blink another time, you'll be 15 years older. See, how much time do you want to go on before you become who you're supposed to be?
That's right.
How much time do you want to go on before you realize, I don't want to have no more heartache?
Amen.
Amen? So let's go to Isaiah chapter 64. We're going to look at verses 8. And it says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. And it's high time that people that call themselves children of God, that they know who they are and they know their role.
That's right.
There's a t-shirt, and I've made it before, and I love it. And it's a little edgy, and I'm a little edgy. But it speaks truth, and I like truth. It says, don't you hate when coworkers act like supervisors? Isn't it terrible when children of God act like they are God, and they sit there and they play these games and they act like, oh, I don't have to listen to God. Who is he anyways? I can do what I want to do. I'm 21. I don't have to listen to this, and I don't have to listen to that. I can do what I want to do. I can go where I want to go. No, your life, it isn't yours. We are bought with a price. Thank you, Dad.
Amen.
We are bought with a price, and it was expensive. But Isaiah 64, it says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand.
Amen.
Now, if I'm speaking real freely and real honestly, which I always do, There's people I don't like. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
There's people that don't like me. Can I get another witness?
Amen.
Hey, if you get two witnesses up in here, you're praising Jesus. Amen. But you know what? Here's what God's been impressing on me while I'm on my potter's wheel. Kelly, don't answer all your critics. See, you feel the need to sit there and answer to everybody that's got a problem with you. That's all you'll do some days. Glory. Some days, you'll get yourself so wrapped up in trying to please men constantly that you'll forget what you're really supposed to be doing. And God's been telling me, Kelly, it don't matter that so-and-so don't like you. It don't matter that you don't like so-and-so. In the big realm of it, Kelly, does it bear any weight? And you know what? It doesn't. Because I have to get over it. You don't like somebody? Get over it. Do you hate them enough you want them to go to hell? Do you hate them enough that you'll go to hell with them? See, that's truth. But know this about your enemy. Coming from somebody that's done a lot of soul searching about enemies in the past year, we are all the work of His hands.
That's right. Every last one of us.
Every last one of us. See, you up on that potter's wheel and you ain't comfortable, stop thinking that comfort is the main goal in your life.
That's right.
Stop thinking that comfort is supposed to be there. It's not supposed to be there all the time or you would never grow.
Right.
A lot of things we get ourselves up into, we blame it on the devil. Oh, the devil made me stub my toe. The devil made me get that second millionth divorce. The devil made me do this. The devil made me do that. Stop giving credit for the bad decisions that you made. The devil does do some of this stuff, but we do a lot of it. And then something bad happened in your life and you'll say, well, why did God do that? I dated a guy once. See, I can't talk a bunch about people in their lives because they get offended and they'll leave. But I can tell on myself all day long, and Stephanie, that's why I do it, because I will keep myself straight, because at the end of it, Brother Mike, what y'all know is that Kelly will lay it all out there. I'll tell every last dirty deed on myself because that is how I keep my recovery. Right then, right there. Why? Because I have a tendency to be fake. The number one medicine for fake people is to keep it real. That's a real amen. But see, I used to date a guy, and I knew he wasn't for me. But I didn't have nobody else to date and take me out to dinner, so I just kept it on. I thought, well, there's no shame in this. You know. And then it got to the point I just couldn't stand it no more. And I tell you what made me not be able to stand it. I called him on the phone one day. I said, don't you think you need to do a little better in your life? He goes, I just keep getting knocked in the teeth. I said, well, what's happened now? He said, I just got my fifth DWI.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, Brother Larry, I can fake a lot of things. That was no longer something I could fake. He said, why does God do this to me? Let me tell you something, baby. You going to drink and drive? You going to get that DWI. Let me tell you something else. You going to meddle in the thing that God told you to stop it? You're going to wake up and you're going to have that misery in your soul? See, I've been praying for my soul since I was 7 years old. Why? Because I'm a weak person. And I know it. See, you're going to make those decisions. They're going to come back. See, when all your chickens, when they come back to roost, don't blame God and don't blame the devil. It's on you.
Amen.
See, don't be up there on that potter's wheel going, Why did you do this to me? No, why did you do it to you?
Amen.
Now, this is some strong preaching, but I will keep it real. Because I believe, Brother Claudie, that God is who He says that He is. I believe that His Word is the absolute truth. And God's Word says, the very truth, it'll set you free. I don't have to sit here and make stuff up. I don't have to be fake. I don't have to sit here and act perfect. All I got to do is speak truth. Because if there's anybody in here that their soul really wants truth, you're going to invite that truth into you, and God is going to set you free. You're no longer going to be able to fake things that you used to be able to fake, to stomach things that you used to be able to stomach, to blame God on things that you've been blaming God for, to give the devil credit for things he didn't do. Amen. I'm here to say, hey, wake up. Know what's going on with yourself. You're on that potter's wheel. You're having adversity. Know what it's about. Amen. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. And it says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house. And there I will give you my message. Now people, they get confused about things of God. See, we think, oh, God wants us to do all these magical things and then this is going to happen. Bam. No, God can move in your everyday life. You don't got to be a celebrity for God to move in your life. You don't have to be having everything perfect in your life for God to move. He said, hey, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. Not jump 17 times, sing 5 songs, clap 3 times, sit down 7 times. See, that's called religion.
Amen.
When everything... No, you know what? Go where God told you to go. Do what God told you to do. If He says go here, go there. Wait on God. And He told Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. At the potter's house, I'm going to tell you what I have to tell you. And He says, so I went to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. The pot that the potter was molding was spoiling right there in the potter's hands.
Yes.
Now let me tell you something. It is very important today that you know what the potter is doing with you on that wheel. If you can know that, God can open your understanding, and there's going to be decisions that you make that you've had issues with, that you've run into. God was explaining this to me this morning. He said, Kelly, there's people, they come to a certain point every time, and every time they ain't been able to get past that point.
Uh-oh.
You forgive up to a certain point. Heather, I've tried to forgive somebody for a long time, and I get to a certain part in that forgiveness process, and it's like I bought them out. I can't get over that hump. Why? Because I don't quite understand where God is trying to help me at. I'm on that wheel, and I've got to pay attention. I've got to heed to myself, like the book of Luke says, heed to yourself. Quit minding everybody else's business and mind your own business, because if you don't, your heart will get overcharged. You won't even be able to handle the things that go on in your own life. Heed to yourself. Mind your own business. Amen. But see, you get to a certain point in forgiveness. You get to a certain point in decisions that you make. You get to certain relationship points, and you never quite get it right. See, there's things in our lives that we're just naturally prone to coming up short with. You ever heard the expression, everybody's got their own demons? Everybody's got their own little weaknesses? You get to this point, Now, I don't know how y'all are as parents, but when I see a weakness in my child, I feel like my number one ambition is to help them get over that. I don't care what it is. We're going to get them over that weakness in their life. Because I don't want my kids to ever come up short with anything. Will they? Yes, they will. But for me as a parent, it's my job to help them be stronger in the places that I know that they're not very strong in. God is the same way. Amen. And it says here, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. See, and some of you, and I've been guilty of this many times, I've not known what God was trying to do with me, and I just spoiled right there on the potter's wheel. I made a bad decision right there on the potter's wheel again. See, some of us make the same wrong decision. It's not that we've made a bad decision. It's that we keep making the same bad decision. You know? And when you keep making that same bad decision, there's that red flag. That is a weakness in your life. I was talking to somebody this week, and I've been meditating, and I've been saying, God, help me help this person. Help me help them. And I began to pray for this person. And when I talked to them, I said, all those times where you missed it, you've thought this, you've thought that, but where you've missed it is all these people that you put ahead of God and ahead of your family, it's come back to bite you. And I said, here is a way for you to learn how to discern, to stop making these decisions that are costing you so badly. I said, look in your past, and if this person is somebody that you picked over your family and over your God, you'd stay away from them.
Right.
But you know what? You got to know, what is God doing with me on that potter's wheel? Because if you don't know, let me tell you, you ever been shaped? You ever been reshaped? You ever, and he has to, okay, round 27, let's start doing this again. They keep doing this. God is patient. He's so patient that he says, literally, his mercy is new every morning. See, how far do you want to take it? How far do you want to let this go? I'll give you a perfect example. When I was pregnant with Carson Paul, I had what they call a PRN nurse. Let me tell you something. If you're ever having a child and they tell you, Brother Claudia, that you got a PRN nurse, you turn them around and you send them out the door. Because really what that equates to for my situation is they didn't know what they were doing. And that was my first kid, and I'm already a crazy nutball. I'm not sure if I'm crazy or saner with the second one, but who's to judge? We got in there with Carson. I was in labor with him for 18 and a half hours. And this PRN nurse, about halfway through that, Jody, she goes, they check you every hour. It's kind of like when you're checking in on a cow. That's how you feel. So she was checking me. Basically, that means, where is the kid in this mama? That's what they're checking. This guy in the back's going, oh my gosh, how gross. It was, brother. So he's checking me. She's checking me for the umpteenth time. And Brenda, she says, You're at a good five. I was like, okay. About 9-10 hours in that, okay. I mean, I was convinced. I went in there at 5:30 and I was convinced I was gonna be eating lunch with my baby. That was a rude awakening. So she comes back the next hour and she goes, you're almost at a four.
my God.
And I about lost my religion. What little bit I had left at that point. Because see, everybody knows in childbirth and you ain't going backwards.
That's right.
It's coming out. A five, and then I'll start regressing back to a four. I said, I started sniffling. You get out of here. You can't go backwards. And I whipped around there and I looked at Mother. I said, I don't know what you're laughing at. You used to do this. Get your gloves on. You're checking. But I plumb kicked her out of the room. Let me tell you something. With almost all things except for childbirth, you can go backwards if that's really what you want to do. But see, God doesn't want you to go and keep coming up to that same thing. You're on that potter wheel. You've been on it. My gosh, it's starting to spoil again in his hands. He's going to have to just redo you. You ever seen that? See, God's wanting to get your attention this morning. He's wanting you to stop right there in your tracks and say, God, I yield to you. God, I don't know everything. God, I'm sorry. God, I take responsibility. See, one day I decided to shock Jeremy. We sitting at the kitchen table before I sold it. And I said, babe, the heartache that I've been going through, it was me. And that was the first time, probably in my entire life, where I really admitted that, you know what, I went through this, our family went through this, this was me, this was on me, this was my fault. I'm not blaming my mama, I'm not blaming my daddy, I'm not even going to blame that old hag of my enemy, because it ain't her fault either, it was on me. See, take responsibility, because you know what, I don't want to be on that same old potter's wheel, be making the same pot. I want to go on to something new. But if I keep it up, God's going to say, okay, spoiled again. Let's go again, Kel. See? God's got something better for you. He's got something bigger for you. He's got the thing right that you've been asking Him for. But you're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to yield to that making there where it's uncomfortable for you, where it's not what you want to do.
Help us, Lord.
And it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. In Job, one of his friends was talking to him, and he said, hey, I'm just like you, Job. We were all pinched off from a piece of clay. Get yourself to where you understand what's going on this wheel, because it's going to take you where you want to go. I believe that most people, they really do want to be righteous. Most of them, not all of them. But some people, they don't even know that there's an issue. One of the reasons I love Celebrate Recovery is because it can take a quote-unquote normal person, Bruce, and it can make you realize you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
See, you keep classifying, oh, those people over there, they do level 10s, and I'm over here, and I just do like level 3 or 2 sins. So I'm better than them because we're just in different classes. So you keep telling yourself that. That's called reprobate. You keep thinking that, you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be.
That's right.
Let's go to Luke chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 39 through 44. And it says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what I told this person. When you recognize a weak spot in yourself, When you recognize them, handle that with caution. Stop picking wrong. Stop putting things in God's place. Amen. And if you need to, do what Jesus did. He said, pray that you don't fall into temptation. See, people get to thinking, oh, I'm so far beyond this. I can do da 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 da. You better check yourself. You better make sure that you are what you say that you are. You get right up in the middle of it, Brother Larry, ain't this the truth? People get right up in the middle thinking that they've really done all this stuff, and they get in there in the nitty-gritty when they ain't got enough time under their own belt, they'll get right back in that. Amen. Be sure of who you are. Be sure where you're going, God's telling you to go. The things that we're doing, be sure God's really telling you to do that.
That's right.
Absolutely. And it says, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me. See, it's not unnatural to say, oh my God, there's a blunder in my life. God, will you take it from me? There's something, I can see it. I can see it coming. See, Jesus knew. And he even himself said, God, if you're willing, if there's anything you can do, if you're willing, take this from me. Now, as a parent, there's some things that I'm willing to fix for my kid before he even sees them coming. There's little shenanigans that they like to pull, and I'll let them. For the pure essence, Brenda, that there are some things in my kids' life, they'll do them one time, and they're going to learn. I had my heart broken one time so badly, I did not know if I would ever live to see the day I would get out of that. When I did, I gave God glory and I found Jer. We all got our type. Sometimes your type is ridiculous. Man, my type was somebody terrible. But you know what? God said, you don't even know yourself, Kelly. You don't even know yourself. You don't even really know what you want. See, sometimes that's us. Sometimes we don't even know what we want. See, that's why we pray. Pray. God, help me. God, change the desire in me that's wanting to do wrong. God, change me. Help me to make a better decision. Yeah. See, just because it's something you want to do, that don't make it right. But you do so much justifying and covering up, you're going to confuse yourself and you're going to make yourself think that's God's will in your life when it ain't. Don't confuse yourself. Man, let truth come in. I met the Spirit of Truth when I was about 15 years old. It came up in our living room. Dad said, did y'all girls do that? Shelly was an absolute no. No, we did not. We did not do that, Dad. Melissa? Well, I'll go to me. I said, I'm not really sure if we did it. I'm the politician in the family. I'm not sure if I wasn't sure if I wanted to get in trouble for that, if there was any way that we could get out of that. So we got an absolute no, a maybe. Then we get to Melissa. Melissa's sitting there. See, some people get it faster than others. See, we was caught. See, when you get in something, when you get on that potter's wheel, and you start feeling that, did you do it? Did you not? What are you going to do? Melissa, did you do that? It was like a cartoon character when they shut their little eyes and about a million tears fall out in 17 seconds. We did it! We absolutely did it! This is how we did it! This is when we did it! This is how many times we did it! And I was sitting there thinking, thank God I said maybe, because Shelly's in a lot of trouble. She said it was an absolute no. And Shelly looks over at Melissa, you idiot. Let me tell you something. You ain't hiding stuff from God. You get yourself on that potter's wheel, and I got news for you. We all on it.
Yes.
We stay on it.
Man, that's the truth.
Don't let yourself spoil right in His hand. Come on now. You're better than that. You're smarter than that most of the time.
Amen.
When we're not justifying and making excuses up for ourselves. Let's go to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 through 10. And it says, but He gives us more grace. See, He gives you grace you don't deserve. He gives you grace you didn't earn. And He gives it to you because He loves you. And Aunt Patty, it says He gives us more grace. See, when we think it, we've gone too far. When we have spoiled in His hand, He gives us more grace. And it says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes.
Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, sometimes we are double-minded in all of our ways. We want to be in God's will, but yet we want to do this over here because it feels good. Because it's our secret sin. Because it's the thing that we're lying about. Because it's the thing that we're covering up. Purification. Get it off. Wash your hands of it. Get it off of you. And it says, grieve, mourn, and wail, and change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom, and humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. See, true, what is the word I'm looking for, Dad? My mind just went blank. True advancement really comes from the Lord.
Yeah, promotion.
True promotion.
Promotion
true promotion comes from the Lord. See, you want to be lifted up out of this thing. You want to be promoted to do something else.
Yeah.
That's not coming from nobody else but God Almighty.
Yeah.
There ain't no use in getting into it with folks. God has the ability to take the folks out of the equation just like that. He has the heart and the want to change the folks.
Amen.
See, just because they're your enemy doesn't mean they're God's enemy. That's a hard pill to swallow. I've swallowed it many times and I've hated every moment of it till that truth began to take a hold of me and I realized, Cindy, that we're all clay. We're all the work of His hand. Who am I to sit there and judge what God is molding over here? All righty. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Last place for me. For anybody that don't like women preachers. I take it if y'all like it. And if you don't, just, it's all right.
Pretend.
And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. See, a lot of us are afraid to be vulnerable, and a lot of us are afraid to be humble. You got to be both. Because when you're both, you get to be under that hand that is so mighty, it can change a situation in a split second. It don't even need a split second. It can change it any time. But see, you got to be something to be in that place. So, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. So cast all of your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you.
Amen.
And so my thought this morning, God's thought this morning, was, you know what? Pay attention. Know what's going on the potter's wheel. Amen. Let's welcome Pastor back up here.
Amen. True word that can be preached at any church in the world this morning. There are people, they're on the potter's wheel, and they keep in their own self, well, that's not what I want. I'm not going that way. And they talk to their self enough till they fool their self and they think that, well, that's not what God's trying to do, but it's pretty obvious that that's what God's trying to do. And what has to happen in a person is you have to be able to, with enthusiasm and with sincerity, recite and sing that song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." So the question is, are we yielded and still this morning? Are we still fighting the potter? Would you stand with me? Because, you know, that's a personal question. And I don't feel the Spirit of God telling me to invite you to come up and say, "Well, help me with this." You know what? You got to ask yourself some questions. If you find yourself keep going back to the same thing, maybe it's a bad relationship, maybe it's a bad whatever, and you keep making the same mistake, you keep getting the same situation, you're taking another lap around Mount Sinai. See, that's up to you. When am I going to get it right? You're going to get it right when you give it to God. We're going to have a moment of silence. I'm not asking anybody to put their hands up. I'm asking you. Take a moment and get it right with God. Just say in your heart, "God, this is hard. But have your own way." Everybody say this with me. Father in heaven, not my will, but your will be done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you would please lift your hands, and I'm going to dismiss you with the blessing of the Lord, the best people. Anywhere, I say unto you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his power and show you, hey, I'm trying to take you a different way because I want to bless you. You'll be happier in the end. May the Lord give you peace and prosperity. And everyone said amen. Shake somebody's hand and go with the blessing of the Lord.